Wikipedia.
Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Welcome to a new Wikipedia episode. Today's episode is based on the Wikipedia article, KCPQ. As always, the podcast is generated and read by an AI. Have fun listening.
Welcome to Wikipedia, the podcast that dives deep into the vast ocean of knowledge contained within Wikipedia. Today, we're zooming in on KCPQ, a television station broadcasting in Seattle, Washington, a beacon of broadcasting that has been lighting up television sets for decades. First off, let's set the scene. Imagine it's 1953. Eisenhower is in the White House, the Korean War has just ended, and in the Pacific Northwest corner of the United States, a new television station emerges. Enter KCPQ. Originally starting out under the call letters KMOTV, linked to an AM radio station. Fast forward to the present day, and we're looking at a well-established Fox affiliate serving the greater Seattle area. So you might be asking yourself, what's the journey been like for KCPQ? Well, let's start with a bit of a backstory. The station went through various ownerships and affiliations, even operating as an independent station at one point. During the late 70s and early 80s, it was known for its late-night adult programming, quite a stretch from its standard daytime fare, essentially being a TV version of Seattle's adult theaters. However, the station underwent something of a transformation in the 1980s. In 1980, it adopted the call letters KCPQ to align with its new branding, the Big Q. And get this, they even aired the infamous Heidi game, which accidentally cut off the final minutes of an NFL game for a scheduled movie, causing an uproar among sports fans. In hindsight, the mishap was a pivotal moment in sports broadcasting history, showing just how much people care about their football. Now, fast forward to the 1990s, which was a period of change for many TV stations, and KCPQ was no different. In 90, it aligned with the nascent Fox network, which would go on to shake up the traditional big three of ABC, CBS, and NBC. By 95, KCPQ had obtained stronger programming thanks to Fox, which led to a significant boost in local news hours. Let's take a moment to think about this. How do these changes in affiliations and ownership affect what you see on your screens? How do they shape the local culture and community? Let's ponder on that while we continue unraveling the tapestry of KCPQ's history. Now, in the digital age, TV stations aren't just about what's on the small screen. They're multimedia platforms. KCPQ is no exception. By 2010, it had launched multiple digital subchannels, including ones that focused on classic movies and television. It's a whole new world of television, one where you get to choose more of what you watch beyond the main channel. What's noteworthy is how KCPQ became a valuable asset, leading to a tug of war between companies. At one point, the Tribune Media-owned station was poised to pass into the hands of Sinclair Broadcast Group. If you've been following the media landscape, you'll know this was part of a controversial mega deal that ultimately fell through, thanks partly to regulatory concerns about Sinclair's reach and influence. Instead, KCPQ ended up in the hands of Nexstar Media Group when they acquired Tribune Media, but not before an interesting trade with Fox television stations occurred. The Seattle Seahawks' soaring popularity made KCPQ's local rights to the NFL games immensely valuable, prompting Fox to swap ownership of a San Francisco station for KCPQ. It's like trading sports cards, except the cards are multi-million dollar television stations. Think about that for a second. A football team's success influencing the fate of your local station. Have you ever considered the power of sports in the corporate world? It's a fascinating intersection, isn't it? As we're wrapping up our focus on KCPQ, let's take a moment to reflect on the evolution of television and its role in our communities. KCPQ, in its several iterations, has been a mirror of the times, reflecting changes in society, technology, and viewer habits. It's transitioned from a fledgling station finding its feet through periods of experimentation to what we now see as a key player in a large media market. In a world where streaming is king, traditional stations like KCPQ are navigating unfamiliar territory, trying to retain viewers who now have seemingly limitless options at their fingertips. As an audience in the age range of 30 to 50, you've likely seen this evolution firsthand, from tuning into a handful of channels to the overwhelming choice offered by the internet. How has your television consumption changed over the years? Think about your favorite local TV memories, whether it was watching a Seahawks game on KCPQ or catching a late-night movie during the Big Q days. And as media enthusiasts, have you considered the ethical dilemmas faced by such media acquisitions and mergers? We invite you to share your thoughts and experiences with us. Let us know how TV stations like KCPQ have impacted your connection to your local community, your views on sports broadcasting, or even the changing landscape of media ownership. Drop us a line, join the conversation on our social media channels, or delve deeper into the history and legacy of KCPQ by exploring the Wikipedia article we've sourced for today's topic. Your engagement is what makes Wikipedia a melting pot of collective intelligence and community discourse. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode about the history and influence of KCPQ. We'll be back soon with another dive into a fascinating Wikipedia article. Until then, keep exploring, questioning, and staying curious. This is Wikipedia, signing off.
That was the Wikipedia podcast for the article of the day, KCPQ. Thanks for listening. See you next time.